Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's a Wednesday. It's on the trail. What's up, Adam Gray?
You know, just another day, buddy. Just excited. We got a lot to talk about today, so I'm excited to be here and talk about some incoming recruits.
Yeah, there's no doubt that there's a lot to talk about. So we're going to start with basketball. This might be one of the biggest basketball recruiting weekends Iowa State's had, or here, this is the biggest basketball recruiting weekend Iowa State has had since blank.
Oh, since I can remember. I'm trying to think here. You know, the last 5 or 6 years, Iowa State hasn't had too many big basketball recruiting weekends because they typically are getting a lot of transfers, grad transfers, so they're slowly coming in throughout the year. I'm sure at some point, way back when, whether it be Wayne Morgan or Tim Floyd, they had a really big recruiting weekend, but not one that I can think of off the top of my head.
So, obviously, it starts with four-star point guard Lindell Wigginton. We've known for a while that he's been a guy that was going to come on a visit to Iowa State, and he's so that'll be this weekend as well as four-star big man Isaiah Stokes. And then you throw in now, we just learned this, I think it was Sunday night, Terrence Lewis, the Iowa State commit, will also be making his visit. So there's two guys that are like the top priorities for the Iowa State coaches, plus the first commit, who's hopefully going to come in and give you a little bit of help too.
Yeah, so have you had a chance to talk to Terrence Lewis before?
Not yet, but I'm planning to do that later this week.
Okay, I was just wondering what kind of young man he was. I'm sure he's strategically being brought in as far as the sales piece here to try to help push these guys over the edge, say, hey, come play with me. We can win a lot of games here, hopefully a Big 12 championship. It is a huge weekend, and really for the football team too. Mm-hmm. Looks like it should be a nice weather. And I always say this, you just get the kids here. You get them in front of Ames, Iowa. I think a lot of times people think Iowa, it's boring.
Yeah.
What's going on there? But you get them up there. Iowa State's a beautiful campus. The football stadium is, you know, now looks fantastic. So they'll be in that environment. But then Hilton as well, just being around the fan base, seeing them tailgate out there. I think walking them through the crowd, I think it sells itself. Because Iowa State, obviously, the results have been on the court the last 5 or 6 years. You can look at it and say, hey, we've been, you know, top 3, 4, 5 in the Big 12. We've gone to the NCAA tournament 5 years in a row, yada, yada, yada. You can sell those pieces, but you have to bring them here to really paint the entire picture.
And it's just like, I don't know. I feel like if Iowa State can have a really good weekend this weekend, if you can lock in Wigginton, you know, Stokes, it sounds like, that process might go on for a while.
Yeah.
From what I've been told, he wants to take all 5 official visits, so that one might not be very close to ending. But I think that if Iowa State makes a good impression with Lindell Wigginton, I wouldn't be surprised if they got him.
No, I wouldn't be surprised either. And actually, I'll be honest, I try not to get overly, you know, optimistic in recruiting because it is recruiting a 17, 18 year old, but I think Wigginton, I'd be pretty devastated if he didn't commit to Iowa State if he went elsewhere. I mean, I think the coaching staff's put a lot of their eggs in this basket, too. This guy's our point guard of the future. He's obviously one of the top – he'd be one of the top-rated point guard recruits I think we've ever gotten. Mm-hmm. So I've got my hopes up quite a bit to where I hope I can get him. And I understand what you're saying, too. Stokes looks like a guy who's going to take all 5 visits. But if you get a guy like Wigginton to commit, and he's here, and he sees Terrence Lewis, and he kind of sees the recruiting class, you never know with these kids. It might be enough to push him over the edge and get him to commit early, too.
Well, and it's crazy. You know, we were talking – whatever, a month and a half ago, where it seemed like they were maybe a little behind on this class. Now they're almost ahead to a point where they've started looking at 2018, and they've got a lot of guys that they're working really hard on in the 2018 class. I posted some stuff on the website yesterday, a big basketball recruiting update.
It was a great article, by the way.
Iowa State assistant Danielle Robinson he has been all over the place, dude. He was in St. Louis one day. He visited 3 guys, Courtney Ramey. He's a 4-star point guard, number 76 player in the 2018 class. Torrance Watson, He's like kind of a combo guard.
We've talked to Torrance on this podcast before.
Yeah, we talked about him during the summer when he picked up an Iowa State offer. He's another top 100 guy. And then Carrington Davis, who I haven't been able to find as much on him, but he's a three-star according to Scout. And he's got an Iowa State offer too. He was in to see all those guys in one day. And those are all 2018 kids.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're 100% right too, because if you get Wigginton on here, you can start, you know, kind of being really selective in 2017. Do we go after grad transfers, or hey, you know what, we got these 2018 kids we really liked. Maybe it's not as important for us to go get a grad transfer, pocket those scholarship, because we think we're going to be able to get four or five guys in the 2018 class that are really good.
Definitely. They were and then they Coach Robinson stopped in to see Elijah Joyner, who yep. I think is still like, he's, if Wigginton commits, I'm not sure that he's a take at that point. But he's still a guy that they're after.
They like, yeah.
You know, he's a guy that they like. And while they were in Chicago, they stopped with a guy and evaluated a guy by the name of I do not know how to say this name, but I'm gonna try.
It's here.
Ayo Dosunmu.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Ayo Dosunmu.
Dosunmu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a 6'3", 160-pound combo guard, number 34 prospect in the 2018 class.
Very nice. Who's he got offers from?
Florida State, Illinois, Creighton, Cincinnati, Marquette, Northwestern, Texas A&M. There's a bunch of other ones, but those are some of the bigger ones.
So good offers, but not unbeatable for Iowa State.
Right.
Clearly. Okay. Very nice. Who's the last – I'm trying to think – the last high school recruit from Illinois Iowa State's gotten? Is it Chris Colvin?
I have no idea.
Might have been Chris Colvin.
He was the five-star guy, right?
No, he wasn't a five-star. He's a four-star. You know, it's funny. All these guys we're talking about right now and we're really excited about – we were jacked and pumped when Chris Colvin committed, and I think he was barely inside the top 100.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he's a four-star, but I think if I remember correctly, he's barely inside the top 100, and we thought, oh, this guy is going to be the difference maker. Greg McDermott's back. You know, he's pulled in this big recruiting coup, and he didn't do anything here. Now it seems like everybody Iowa State's getting or going after are top 100 guys.
Yeah.
It's very nice to see the recruiting take a big turn from where it was, you know, 8 years ago.
Well, and then you even look at Race Thompson, power forward, who was here a couple weeks ago and on an unofficial visit.
Another 2018 kid.
Another 2018 kid. He's the number 100 prospect.
Yeah.
And they were in to visit him, I guess it would have been a week ago tomorrow.
Niang.
Well, a week ago today when the podcast comes out.
I call him Niang Jr.
Right.
He reminds me a lot of him.
Yeah, and he's got offers from Minnesota, Marquette, Kansas State, Northern Iowa, and then a couple more. He's the second best player in the state of Minnesota. I like how they're putting an emphasis on recruiting these kind of border states, it seems like. Missouri, Illinois, Minnesota.
I thought you wanted us to really get in on that Omaha market.
Hey, they are getting in the Omaha market because Iowa State is expected to visit Boys Town forward Teddy Allen on Tuesday.
Look at that segue right there.
There you go.
Teddy Allen, so we talked about him, God, 2 months ago now?
Yeah,
it's been a while.
It was back in the July live period. Well, because that was when he had that big weekend in Las Vegas where he averaged like 40-something points
yep.
and just went nuts and picked up offers from Virginia Tech, West Virginia, a couple other schools like that.
And he's a 2017 kid.
Yeah.
But there's nothing on this kid,
no.
right? Because he came from Arizona. There's a couple articles about his recruiting picked up, but I don't think there's any video of him playing in the last year or two.
No. There's none. I talked to a guy that covers basketball in Nebraska, and I asked him if he knew where there's a
video of this kid.
And he said there just isn't one.
Man, that's when the message board of this guy just turns in. He's going to be like the next Emmanuel Malou.
Well, and then you look
you
at
talk
like
about,
I would
like
read,
he's the next great.
I would read stories about him in the World Herald, and he's getting like 25 points and 18 rebounds.
Yeah.
So he's just putting up stupid numbers, and it's like, how has no one gone in and with a video camera and videotape this guy play?
It's 2016.
That's what I'm saying. There's not even a grainy cell
camera
phone video.
There are no grainy camera videos anymore. They're all crystal clear. But yeah, no.
We'll tell that to Elijah Joyner. Watch his highlight tape.
No, I know. That's tough to watch.
Yeah.
No, it is crazy, especially someone that's got that much interest.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little disappointed.
He's got offers from West Virginia, Virginia Tech, TCU, Cincinnati. Like, the only way that they could have seen him is to go watch him.
But that was the Vegas tournament, right? Because that's essentially when he started getting all those offers was that Vegas tournament.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's
I'm interested to see what happens with him. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see what Iowa State does after this week with forwards moving forward in this class.
This is my guess. No inside information on this. Obviously, Wigginton's plan A. They got to get him.
Yeah.
They would like Stokes, but I think this Allen guy. If Stokes is going to take his whole five visits, I bet they continue to recruit Allen, and they would take either one. That's my guess. I don't know if that's true or not, but whoever is the first one to grab that scholarship, or do you think they could slow play him, holding out for Stokes?
See, that's what I would think that would be like the best case scenario.
Well, it'd be ideal, but
that's what I'm saying. That would be like the best case scenario, but you never know.
You don't know.
Like, and I think that you remember Fabian White. I think we talked about him before. I think that was a situation where he wanted to – it was kind of like McKinley Wright, where we talked about where he wanted to move his visit up, and it was a situation where they had guys that they wanted. They had Lindell Wigginton that they wanted, and they knew that they couldn't really publicly be going after another point guard because – or have, like, you know, have this other guy come on a visit, and then he commits, and it's – now we're out of the running for Lindell Wigginton.
This is a big risk for the coaching staff, if you think about it, right? I mean, some of these guys, because let's say Wigginton goes.
It's just, it's crazy how in recruiting you're constantly walking a tightrope to an extent, you know?
Which is unfortunate because you should be able to sit here and tell a recruit, hey, you're a plan A. I promise you you're a plan A. And obviously, it's hard for the recruit to believe them, but we promise you're plan A. But I know you're still taking looks. We want you here, but we got to have backup plans too. So we're bringing in this kid to come visit this weekend, this weekend. We're not going to actually take a commitment from him until then. But it doesn't seem to be going that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that Isaiah Stokes is like priority number one at forward.
Sure.
But if he stretches his process out until March, which I'm not saying he will, I would be surprised. I would think more after the new year would be a little bit more realistic. But, you know, then you're just putting – it just puts you in a tough position because one of those guys, you know – all your backup plans could be gone by then.
Yeah.
And then, but you're waiting out this one guy, and then if you don't get him, now you're up a creek, and it's like, oh shit, what do we do now?
Then you just bank it and hold out for a grad transfer, a JUCO player.
That's what I would say. Yeah. Definitely.
Now, what do you think about the staff? And I kind of like it. They're bringing these kids in for a football game rather than trying to get them on an official visit during an Iowa State basketball game, which obviously Hilton's environment's incredible. You bring them in for an Iowa or Kansas or Oklahoma, it's going to be an environment unlike what they probably are going to go see anywhere else. I mean,
but you know why they do that, right?
Weather.
Well, that and because they want to get them here before the signing period, probably.
That too. There's a little bit of strategic play in that, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at it and say, weather's great. You get more fans around there, just kind of see everything.
I feel like the atmosphere at Hilton, though, is more – like, everybody talks about that. Like, you can watch on TV and you can clearly see that Hilton's crazy, like, before you even get there.
That's a good point.
You know.
That's a good point. But there's something to be said about being
inside. Well, yeah, I definitely agree.
No, but that is a fair point. You can definitely see. But, no, I like it because I'd have to be interested to go back and look at over the last 10 years of Iowa State recruiting, how many guys that they've got committed have been here for an official visit during football season versus official visit during basketball season. And just see if there's a difference in, like, how Hoiberg did it, how McDermott did it, Wayne Morgan, to how Steve Prohm does it.
I don't even – like, I can't even remember that many guys that came on official visits for games. Rashad Vaughn, like, he's one of the few that I really, like, think about that sticks out. That's like, he came on a visit to a basketball game. Like,
yeah. Cause it was a big deal.
Yeah. It was, right. It was a huge deal
huge
when he
deal.
Came. I can't think of another guy since then that's been like that.
Did Cheek ever come?
I don't believe so.
Cheek never came. Yeah.
He might have came on a visit, but I'm not sure he ever came to a game.
No, I mean, and like I said, this is also new because Iowa State's been getting players, but they haven't been getting high school players for a while now.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back, Monte, Matt, George, those were 4 or 5 years ago we were getting those guys. Who did we get between now and then as far as high school kids go?
Clayton Custer. Simeon Carter.
Okay.
Solomon Young, Jacoby Long. And
I'm resting my case. Okay. It's just it's different, right?
I mean, right.
They're going after – instead, they were more confident and just saying, hey, we'll go get a guy. And I don't think that either way is wrong, by the way. I think they're just different approaches. Saying,
right.
We'll go get a guy who's played for 3 or 4 years. We'll bring him in. He'll play for a year or two for us. Versus now we're going after highly rated recruits for Iowa State. I mean, these aren't Kentucky or Duke guys, but they're still – these are nice recruits Iowa State's bringing
in here. But if you get the guys like this and you put together a class that's got three – 4 stars, and then 2 other guys that are right on the edge of the top 150.
It's a great class, right?
That's a class that even those guys in that next class, they look at it and they're like, that's a pretty good group to build on.
Yeah, you know? Ball with those fellas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you think about a guy like Torrance Watson or Courtney Ramey that are those other top 100 recruits who – I think, have some room to probably move up in those rankings,
yeah.
Then that's when you start. You get one class that's top 25. That's when those guys are like, okay, let's get a top 15. Let's get a top 10.
It kind of snowballs from there.
Right.
And then the coaching staff, too, gets a little bit of confidence, right?
Right.
I mean, in anything in life, you get a big sale, you get confidence, and then all of a sudden the next sale comes a little easier. No different than getting a commitment from a couple mm-hmm. good kids. You start.
You get Steve Prohm thinking like he's Trevor Hoffman. He's the confident closer.
There you go, man.
And all of a sudden he's, you know, you got what was his song? Back in Black? Is that right? No. Hell's Bells was Trevor Hoffman's song, right?
I don't remember.
That's what we need. We need to get Steve Prohm a closer song.
Okay. That yeah.
Because he's the closer.
I'll leave that up to you. You know me. I'm not a music guy at all.
Yeah, I know you're Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber is your favorite singer.
Oh, never say never, buddy.
So, yeah, that's the basketball stuff. They have a handful of football visitors this weekend, headlined by Keyshawn Nixon, who we've talked about quite a bit.
So Keyshawn Nixon is even more important right now because not only did Octavius Morgan decommit a couple week yeah. or two ago, Karan Hafiz, he it was weird. He put out on a tweet that he decommitted from Iowa State. I never knew he actually committed. That was kind of a shocking thing for me to learn. Did not see that. But, yeah, so he's decommitted. So Iowa State now you know, a week ago we sat here and said, man, the cornerback position's really set for a while. They're yeah. looking pretty good. Now there's a glaring hole that they need Definitely. To bring in some guys, especially with who they have that's leaving. Jay Jones, Nigel Tribune, Jamal Wiltz, all gone. And coming in next year, they have three guys who I think are going to be probably safeties. So they need to get this guy. I think Keyshawn Nixon is a huge, huge, huge get for them.
His team's the number one junior college team in the nation now.
Are they?
I'm pretty sure he's the best player, too. So.
Well, the only reason they're number one, though, to be fair, is because the last chance you, they screwed over the team, and they suspended all their players from last year.
There's a team in Mississippi that's number two or number three, Northwest Mississippi.
Okay.
Which I can't remember if they played them on the show, but.
So, Nixon's actually from an Arizona community
yeah.
college.
Yeah, Arizona okay. Western.
What do you got for stats for him? Has he got anything?
I haven't looked, to be honest.
Jeez. Unbelievable. No, anyone else coming in besides him?
Yeah, there's some more. I can pull up the list that I got here.
Quick thing, too, just on, you know, I'm obviously making a joke here on Karan Hafiz and the fact that he decommitted from Iowa State yesterday. I find it funny. The kid, the day before, was retweeting Iowa State commits, doing the hashtag Cyclone Squad 17, then decommits. Uh-huh. I have no problem with this. I really don't. And actually, I've watched a lot of the kid's film. I think he's tough. I think he's actually a pretty good football player. I'd like Iowa State to get back in and get a commitment from him later on. But there always is this, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, there's always this thing for me. With kids that tweet a lot, I never think are going to be great football players.
Really?
I've said this. I've had this longstanding, I don't even know what to say, but I've said for years, if a guy tweets a ton, I just bank it as he's not a very good football player because it seems like they're always worried about the stuff that's not important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but I'm rambling right now about something that's not important at all, but long story short, I hope Iowa State is able to get a commitment out of him. They need a high school kid, commitment out of this kid, but if they don't, I don't think it's the end of the world either.
Jalen Dixon was the other one that someone told me.
Oh, wide receiver out of Texas.
Yeah, the wide receiver from Texas.
He's killed it the first couple weeks down there in Texas. Yeah. He's done a good job. I think there's a glaring need, too, in the slot for Iowa State, too, to bring in some players. Deshante Jones had a nice play, though, this week, too, so hopefully they can get him a little bit more active.
Yeah, I mean, he's only a freshman, so he's got some time to grow in that spot a little bit.
And I think they could probably move him inside and outside.
Yeah.
You know, where Jalen Dixon's probably more strictly a slot guy, I would imagine.
Definitely. Well, and then you think, you know, with that slot position, you got KJ Hamler still out there on the board, too.
Yeah.
Which, who knows? I mean, it might be an outside chance, but Iowa State made his top five, so.
Who's Iowa State competing with there?
Penn State, Oregon, Arizona, and Michigan State.
That's a top five right there, man.
Yeah.
That's a top five. That'd be quite the poll. But he is good friends with Richard Bones?
Richard Bones, yeah.
Okay. So hopefully Richard can stay on him. Richard had a big punt return for a touchdown this last week.
Yeah, kick return.
Kick return.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can talk about that. That can be our segue.
Well, first, before we actually switch over and start talking about some high school recruits, I just want to ask everyone out there, are you tired of all the labor and time involved with standard gym workouts to get the results you want? What if I told you could achieve your fitness goals in 220 minutes a week in combination with a little nutrition education? Would you believe me? So here's the thing, Jared. I actually was at the exercise coach this morning getting a workout in. I actually met someone who heard about this, the exercise coach from the podcast, had signed up, met him. The exercise coach right now coming out, and I think October 19th, they're doing their metabolic challenge again. Perfect time for anybody looking to, hey, you know, the summer's almost here. We're starting to head into holiday season. It's usually where I pack on some pounds between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Give the exercise coach a call for free workouts. You can start the metabolic challenge here in October as well. I promise if you do it, you're going to feel as strong as you felt in a long time. Mm-hmm. Your body's going to feel great because you're putting into your body the nutrients that your body needs. Give them a call for free workouts.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
I'm doing it again. I did the metabolic challenge last time. I said dropped 15 pounds. I notice a difference when I don't eat exactly what they're kind of telling you what is good for your body. I'm going to do it again though, because like I told you last time, I need to lose another about 10 or 15. So I'm excited about it. The only thing that's ever hard for me, no beer.
Yeah.
That's tough for me, man. The food thing I can do. It's a little bit hard when your wife makes something for the kids, but the no beer when you get home from a day of work, there's a football game on, you want to have an adult beverage. Now, there are some people that do the metabolic challenge as far as eating, and they still enjoy a nice adult beverage or two. So, but yeah, give them a call, 515-330-1299. And with that said, let's talk a little bit about these incoming recruits.
So who have you got as your MVP? Who's our offensive MVP this week?
Offensive MVP, we will go with Devin Moore, quarterback, Waterloo West. Team one again, I believe they're 4-0. They beat up on Marshalltown. Marshalltown's not a very good program. He went 13 for 19, 225 yards, 3 touchdowns to 1 interception. So on the year, if we're keeping track, he's got 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It's a good ratio.
He's his team moved into the Des Moines Register top 10 this week.
Did they?
At number 10, I believe.
Okay. That's good to see. That's good to see. I don't know the kind of competition they typically play over there, to be honest with you.
I have no idea.
So, yeah, you know, quarterback's a position where for, I would say, a good 6 or 7 years, Iowa State did not do a good job recruiting or scouting or developing. Yeah. So be interested to see. This is the first commit that Campbell got, period. Mm-hmm. First quarterback recruit. And I know you could say, you know, we got Park and stuff, but I'm talking about a high school kid. It'll be interesting to see how he comes in and develops in his time at Iowa State.
Definitely. So I've got mine split. Camilo Tongamoya, in a 20-7 win over Shasta, had 10 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, and 1 sack.
A defensive tackle position, or do they move him to the D end a little bit too?
I think he kind of plays both.
That's still a lot of tackles for someone on the line.
Yeah.
Animal. Okay, I love it.
Orion Vance, 7.5 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 3 sacks in a 49-14 win over Linmar.
Animal.
Yeah.
Animal.
That dude's a beast.
He is. And as I hear these stats, and we just got done doing the CFTV Live with Jeff Woody and seeing some of the breakdowns, I thought we had it in the linebacker position. I just, every time you hear Ryan Vance, my eyes kind of light up a little bit.
I'm going to try and go out and watch him play before the season gets over. I want to go watch that dude in person.
Take some video on your grainy cell phone.
Yeah, there we go.
And post it up for us.
I need to go and go to Omaha and watch Teddy Allen just so I can become the first person to get confirmed video of Teddy Allen playing basketball.
It would be breaking news.
All right, who else you got? Who else stood out?
Once again, Charlie Corlar's team. They have now won their games 58-0, 55-7, and 56-7. I believe I'm not a math major on that, but that's 69-14 that they've averaged beating teams or total. Mm-hmm. He had 4 catches, 59 yards, 1 touchdown, just pretty consistently throughout the year. He's getting about 4 to 5 to 6 catches and getting a touchdown. So he's one of those players that I keep thinking we probably don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
You know, because when he first committed to Iowa State, we were looking at the kid that committed to Nebraska. What was his name?
Reese Lato.
And Reese Lato was the one maybe a little bit more stars, played at Jinx.
Yeah.
I think we probably liked him a little bit more. Charlie Corlar might end up being the better of the guys. We don't know that for sure, but his team and some of his stats he's putting up are pretty impressive.
Definitely. You mentioned Richard Bowens. He had a big game in a 33-10 win over Detroit Jesuit. He had an interception and then the 93-yard kickoff return, and he just blows everybody away on the kickoff return.
He's got speed.
He actually dropped the ball when he tried to catch it and then found a seam, and it's like he finds a seam and he's gone instantly.
So wait, he's going to be a cornerback or a safety?
I think he'll be a safety.
Safety. So he dropped the ball. So he'll fit right in with our secondary. It's a great joke. Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Jay Jones, man. I'm telling you. It looked like a pick six. He slips a little bit, drops the ball, and TCU gets 3 points. just one of the many little things Iowa State does not do to get victories.
One of the – I was going to say, I'm sure that 3 points made a huge difference in the outcome.
No,
of the
but
game.
Three – instead, there was a 10-point swing.
That's true.
Pick six, and Iowa State does a lot of little stuff like that that adds up, a lot of little stuff. Okay, another player, his team is now 0-3, Pearl River Community College, Matt Eaton, wide receiver coming in next year. They continue to lose. Program that won one game last year. He had six catches, 55 yards. Still no touchdowns. He's got he's averaging about 6.5 catches per game, about 65 yards, but got to get in the zone, man.
He's like on that Alan Lazard almost. Like, Allen catches the ball a lot, but then he'll only get one touchdown. Or it's like...
He's got two touchdowns so far. No, he just got one, doesn't he? One this year, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yep. It seemed even last year. Like, he'd catch the ball a lot, but he didn't always score that many touchdowns.
Well, Iowa State doesn't score very many touchdowns.
Exactly.
In general.
And that's what it is for Pearl River. They're going to throw the ball a lot, but that doesn't mean they're going to score.
So not only is Richard Bowen's going to fit in with our safeties, but Matt Eaton's going to fit right in with our wide receivers.
He should have gone to Last Chance U.
Who's their quarterback these days, though?
I have no idea. Not Chad Kelly.
Not Chad Kelly or the kid.
Not John Franklin.
No, John Franklin's not playing for Auburn, is he?
I think he did. One week at least.
Did he?
Yeah.
How'd he do?
I don't know. He was like third string to start the year.
That's what I thought.
I thought it was really funny. Jalen Ramsey, who went to Florida State, got drafted by, I think, the Jaguars.
Yeah, I saw his tweet.
Yeah, he tweeted out that he was third string at Florida State, third string at Auburn. It might not be the coaches. Dude, I was never impressed by him on the show anyway.
No, I wasn't either, but what a douchey thing to tweet.
Yeah, that definitely is a very douchey thing to tweet.
I mean, the kid didn't seem that bad in Last Chance U. His attitude wasn't that bad.
Especially when you're in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
Why are you worried about this kid still?
How petty are you?
Yeah. That's like, I'm just mad that you're famous because you were on this TV show.
Yeah, and I'm better than you, and I don't get any – okay, sure. But, no, Jalen Ramsey, not a fan. Not a fan of that tweet.
Cordarius Bailey.
New commit.
Yeah, the second newest. Yep. We got to talk about him next. Okay. 8 tackles and 1 pass deflection in a 53-0 win over Rosa Fort.
Look at that defense, man.
That's 2 weeks in a row that they haven't given up a point. They've outscored their opponents 88-0 in the last 2 weeks.
It's all because of Cordarius Bailey and that defense.
Yeah, 8 tackles. That's a lot of tackles for a defensive end.
Yeah. Does he have any other big recruits on that team?
I would have to look.
We should look that up. I wonder if it's kind of like a Cam White deal, too, where they got a bunch of studs on that team. Yeah, the new commit that you talked about, though, John Nagel.
Yep.
From West Delaware. Good West Delaware team, 3A. They're 4-0 now in the year. He plays both defensive end and tight end for them.
Yeah.
And I don't think Iowa State's for sure where they're going to put him yet.
I think he's just a big guy that could play either side, you know?
So Iowa State this last year brought in Carson Lensing, who I think was the kind of one of the same deals. It's not until you get on campus do they really know where they're going to put you at. And now, is Lensing, have they moved him to DN or linebacker?
I think he's a DN.
DN, okay. I probably could pull that up.
Yeah, I would look at the roster to be sure.
But I mean, I know people are, is he going to be tight end, linebacker, DN? Carson Lensing, he's at linebacker now.
Okay.
At least I'm going off Tim Hansen's scholarship chart. So if it's wrong, you guys can call up Tim and yell at him. But, yeah, no, his team's 4-0, really good team. On defense, he's got 19 total tackles, 8 for a loss, and 1 sack. So, you know, nice numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Tackles aren't a ton, but when he's making the tackles, it is behind the line of scrimmage, which is good to see. And then at tight end, he's got 7 receptions, 135 yards, and 2 touchdowns so far this season.
He just got an offer from Iowa State last week. I think they'd been waiting – they were waiting to see his senior film before they pulled the trigger on an offer.
Yep.
So whatever he has done in the first three,
they like it.
4 weeks of the season has been impressive enough to draw an offer. I wouldn't be surprised if he – I think he's a 2-star right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a bump. Maybe a 3-star.
Is it me or are they a little bit more likely to give higher stars these days than they used to?
Yeah, we were actually talking about this as like media guys before an availability one night. I feel like they should almost cap it. Like, there can only be this number of 5-stars, this number of 4-stars, you know?
I kind of agree. Or,
but there's, it's like
or there's, don't go to 2. Go throw a 1-star out there.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That would just, yeah. Wouldn't Why they, even rate somebody, though, if they're a 1-star?
If they're even worse, they get 0 stars.
That's like, we just need to start a recruiting service. Let's call it Ruthless Recruiting.
Yeah, this
and
is life,
and
man.
And we'll just give you very honest ratings.
Wouldn't that be refreshing?
Hey, it would, but at the same time, it'd be incredibly painful for some of those kids, I'm sure.
Some of Iowa State's recruiting classes would have had like 6 1-star recruits in there.
Yeah.
I won't name names. but I have a couple in my mind right now who probably would have been one stars. A couple that still might be on the roster right now.
Devin Lamp and Cam White both had a bye. Lamp's team, Cedar Hill, they played DeSoto. Big rivalry game in Texas football.
Next week?
This week, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that'll be a big one.
Very nice.
Two of the Texas football factories.
If I've seen anything, if I've seen Friday Night Lights enough, I know that this is the whole town's going to be talking about this the whole week.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm sure that the boosters are probably telling the coach he'll get fired if he loses.
Probably.
Yeah.
And he probably should. You know? All right. Let's see here. Tyler, Joe's team, Libertyville, they had a big 47 win over Waukegan. So I don't really have – there's no stats, no box score in that game. Libertyville, if you're listening to this at Max Preps, get your stats entered for me. I'd appreciate it.
Or Illinois just create a quick stats website.
Or that too. Maybe they do. We just don't know what it is.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that Iowa's one of the only states that has that website.
It's a nice website.
How often is it that we can say that Iowa is the progressive state? We're progressive, technologically.
Quite a bit. We're ahead
give
of
me a, give me another example.
No.
Jake Hummel, 37-0 win over Waukee, 7 tackles, 6 solo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Waukee, that's a butt kicking. I always thought Waukee was at least competitive in football. They must be down a little bit this year.
I feel like they battled with Valley. 3 weeks ago, maybe.
And Valley beat Dowling. It just goes to show you, you're talking high school kids. You never know you're going to get week in and week out.
Right.
So, Josh Johnson for Central Arkansas, he did not play. I did not find any reason why he didn't play. I think he must be injured, according to his Twitter. He did not play, but when he comes back, he's going to go off.
So, Josh Johnson tweets a lot too, Adam.
I know. Don't like it. Don't like it. But you know what, though? The world is changing, so maybe I just need to get off my
own. I think you just need to stop being an old man and stop being so grumpy.
There's a certain recruits for Iowa State in years past where I've told other people this, he's not going to be as good as people think. He tweets too much. And so far, I'm batting about 80% on this right now.
Who's the one that you missed on?
I'm not going to tell. I'm not naming names.
I just want to know the one you missed on.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay. Ray Lima didn't play again.
Okay.
I would assume it's from the same knee injury.
It's
that was
3 weeks in a row he's played.
That was talked about initially, but yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully, he wasn't listed on their participation charts.
Hopefully nothing serious.
Yeah.
Colin Newell's team up there in Ames, they lost. They're now 2-2. They lost to Fort Dodge.
I was at that game.
Were you?
Yeah.
How do you lose to Fort Dodge?
Well, Fort Dodge got up big early. They hit on a couple long touchdown passes.
Okay.
And then Ames came back, and Ames actually got down inside the Fort Dodge 15 with – probably like 25 seconds left. Two receivers dropped passes in the end zone that would have tied the game.
Oh, how did Newell look?
He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, they
good size to him.
Their offense is, they run a pretty like college style offense, and sometimes that can actually hurt them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
when you say college style offense, you're talking spread.
There's a lot of, and I think there's a lot of like responsibility put onto the quarterback. And when you've got a guy like Michael Frankel, who's a walk-on at Iowa State now, who was their starting quarterback last year until he got hurt, when you've got a guy like him who's played in the system for a while and knows it, you know, you can, it, I'm sure, it can be really effective. Or when you've got a guy that's a running back like Cliff Kwamensah, who broke like the state rushing record his senior year, I'm sure it can be really effective. But they've got a sophomore quarterback who, you know, maybe isn't as experienced in the thing, and they don't have a running back that's really, really good. So then you get in a lot of situations where they go 3 and out because they're trying to throw passes that is like college-style passing trees, and the quarterback just isn't good enough to make those reads all the time.
I got you. Okay. So did Newell, does he stand out from a physical standpoint?
Oh, yeah. He's big.
He's a big boy?
Like considerably bigger than anybody else on their offensive line.
Okay. Well, that's good.
They've got a linebacker that he's a wrestler. He's a state champion wrestler. I would assume that's probably what he's going to go do. But his name's Marcus Coleman. This dude can play. He's got a nose for football.
Junior?
I want to say he's a senior, but he is good. He's really good.
Do you know where he's going for wrestling?
I think he's going to Iowa State.
Okay. I don't follow the wrestling enough to know this.
No.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you remember this too. Rhodes was on a big kick with linebackers where he wanted all his linebackers to seem like to be wrestlers.
Yeah.
Kane Seeley, Adam Pavinko, he was going to get all these guys. I think it works as long as still got, at the end of the day, it's a Big 12. You still got to have some foot speed.
Yeah. This, like, Marcus Coleman's the kind of guy that's in on every play.
Yeah.
Like, every time someone runs the ball, he's there to make a tackle, it seems like.
Maybe he's a two-sport athlete.
I'm saying that he would be like a kid that you look at and it's like, that's a walk-on type possibility.
Okay.
Know? Like, but if he's a really good wrestler, so I would imagine he'll probably go do that. But
yep.
he is a good enough player, I think, to play at the next level.
Okay, nice. Alex Kleina, Iowa City West. They lost their first game. They lost to Iowa City High 20-7. They did not run the football very well.
Really?
No.
How was it?
It was. I don't think they even had 60 yards of rushing.
60?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said six. No.
They did not run the ball very well at all. And as you see, they only scored 7 points. So yeah. Tough loss. Still 3-1 though. And Iowa City High is a good program.
Yeah. Did Jeff Nogage run for 500 yards again, team?
So here's the funny thing about Jeff Nogage. He last week his team ran for 447 yards. I pulled it up. It said his team won 13-7. I click on the box score. The box score says they ran for 405 yards and 6 touchdowns. I'm not a math major here, Jared, but that should have more than 13 points. 6 touchdowns should be more than 13 points. But so I don't know which one's right there. I'm going to say the 6 touchdowns and the 400-some yards rushing just because then we can go back again and say, this Jeff Nogage guy, he's...
And they ran behind him on every play.
Every play. They might even give him the ball and just let him go.
I mean, they run the fumble rooski just play after play.
I'm telling you, this kid's going to come in. He's going to start from day one.
At running back.
So that is everybody I have here. Do you got anyone else you want to talk about?
Nope, I don't think so. I think we're good.
We're good. All right, so big weekend. I mean, it really is a big weekend.
Yeah.
If Iowa State fans, I know you're down on the team. Team's 0-3. But still get out there and support the team. Not only are you supporting a new coaching staff, but you got – for Iowa State to ever get to where a lot of Iowa State fans want them to be, they got to recruit better, both football mm-hmm. and basketball. They got to recruit at a higher level. So get out there, show these recruits what it's all about, what Iowa State fans are all about. Make a great environment. Be loud at the football game. And hopefully some of these kids we just talked about will commit and we'll have better times ahead.
And I know that yesterday Lindell Dwiggington tweeted that he's looking for his Iowa State followers.
Yeah.
And I'm not one to ever condone tweeting at a recruit, but I will condone going to follow them, show them some love.
How many times do you ever tweeted at a recruit?
I will never tweet at a recruit.
Yeah, me neither.
But a lot of people do. Like I said, I will never condone that, but I'm not going to tell you not to go follow him.
You know what? I won't condone it either, and I used to call those people really weird.
Yeah.
But honestly, it seems like everybody does it, and these young high school kids love
it. They love it, yeah.
They love it. So you know what? You're saying don't do it. I'm saying if you are okay doing it, go ahead and do it, guys, because these guys love it.
If you can do it and you feel like you're not a creep, then you go right ahead.
I couldn't do it, but if you are okay with it, tweet away, man.
The NCAA frowns upon it, though. Just remember that.
NCAA frowns upon everything. They can kiss my ass.
Okay. now that we've gone there.
Sorry about that. But yeah, so with that said, why don't you go in, get a workout in at the exercise coach. I had my guy Jared today kick my butt. Did a full core workout.
Did you?
Yeah. The core needs a lot of work.
I saw you napping over here during CFTV Live.
Well, the guys need to be a little bit more exciting. But, it was a good workout, good 20 minutes. Felt like I was in there for an hour because just the type of workout they had me doing. But give them a call, 515-330-1299. Told them Cyclone Fanatic sent you for free workouts.
Definitely. Thanks for joining me, Adam Gray.
Thanks, buddy.
It's been On the Trail. Have a great week, everybody.